Before we start, just this is Rabbi Davidson. Last year, already put out with his son. His grandfather or his great grandfather was a big rav, and this is they put out a Haggadah last year. I'm going to be quoting from it, but he said, if anybody wants to buy one, you could take it and then just message him and let him know that you took it. But these are the.
Is this getting posted right there? Or is it
on this there? One will be internal KPY posting. Because the official Haggadah Shir is going to be next week in the shul, and that'll be a little more expanded. Feel free. We'll see how far we get. But again, those who are interested in more, there are I don't know how many 17, 18 years worth of Haggadah Shir are online. I try not to repeat. So what we do is we go through the Haggadah and try to have one thought on each part. But if anybody needs, if anybody's flying, when he's traveling. Buses, Teeling, there's plenty on, there's a few on YU, most of them are on OU the past 13 years, so feel free to listen. So I will mostly, being that this isn't, a lot of you haven't heard other ones, mostly I'll speak to this, this year's, this is what you have in the packet is new for this year, but I'll throw in some fan favorites over the times, just to mention, being that also in my show we didn't have a morning to do it based on the busyness of the week, so we'll do what we can. Okay. The Seder starts off with the simanim, kadesh, orchatz, karpas. What's the message of the simanim? What are we doing with the simanim? There is a thought that I like to quote from Rabbi Sender in one of his Haggadahs, the Pesach. There are like four Haggadahs, the Pesach Seder Haggadah, the Pesach Seder commentary, the commentators, Pesach Seder Haggadah, all of those with Rabbi Sender. He says, imagine you go on a trip. You go on a trip and you get to the country and all of a sudden you're like, okay, I want to go to the museum today. You call, oh, it's closed today. And so you're like, okay, I'm going to go here. Oh, you had to make reservations. And you get, oh, they're... If you don't plan your trip before you go, then you're not going to get the most out of it. What you need is an itinerary. If before you go on your trip, you have an itinerary, you have a plan. There's more marmakomos over there, Ellie. Just put it into the front so people come in. If you plan your trip beforehand and you know exactly where you're going and what you want to do and what the stops are going to be along the way, then you get the most out of your trip. The simanim, that's our itinerary. We're going on a journey tonight. Our journey called Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we know the first stop we're going to make is Kadesh, and then Orchatz and Karpas along the way. And we know every stop, what's next, where we were. And that's how we get the most out of our trip. This is our Seder itinerary. And that's what we focus on, and that's what we mention in the... people have been hugging to sing it up until what you're up to. Whatever. I don't think that's ma'akev, but whatever, however one fulfills it. But it's the Seder. And the Shemin HaTov, in source number one, Shemin HaTov was Rabbi Dov Weinberger. He was, Zechor Levrach, he was nifter about a year and a half, 2 years ago. He was a Rav of the Young Gizel of Williamsburg for many years. A great darshan. He has a number of svarim out. So in his Haggadah, this is a thought at the end, but I put it here at the beginning. At the end of towards the end of the Seder, we say, we've done it all. Chasal Seder Pesach Kil Chaso. Right, we finished it. K'chol mishpatav chukaso. It's interesting, we call it tonight a Seder. In order. A specific order. Pashas hadvaram nira de'enu el tefillah. It sounds like a tefillah. Hashem, help us be zochet to do it again. But we're emphasizing something, says the Shemin HaTov. This is a tikkun for what we went through by Yetzias Mitzrayim, when it wasn't misudar. It was chipazon. It was, get out quickly, run, they're pushing. Tonight we take it slow. Tonight we're misudar. It's the opposite, but it's the tikkun. The way to remember chipazon is to be misudar and think about what it was like. Think about the past, but do it in a misudar way. And he quotes this, and he quotes related issues. Because the more misudar and matun and patient we are, then the more we can appreciate every single aspect of the nisim and the flows that occurred. Dafka, don't do it quickly. Right? We learn Psachim this year. Zrizim Akdimin L'mitzvos. So one of the Bali Musar say, Zrizim Akdimin L'mitzvos, not B'mitzvos. Up until the mitzvah, be quick. Be a Zariz, lit. Once you get through it, take it slow. Do the mitzvah nice, focus. So right now we're in the mitzvah of Sibrit Yitzias Mitzrayim. So we try to do what we can and try to be as focused as we can, and to be mesudar as a tikkun for the chipazon. Moving right along. Again, these are yours to take. Take these to your Seder. So just don't get chametz on them. But and again, all the other ones, all the years, they're all scanned in. So feel free to download them. So we make Kiddush. Kadesh is the first. And this year, we have a unique Kiddush because it's also Havdalah. All right, we do Yak Nahaz, we make Kiddush and Havdalah together. Rabbi Lam, Zechor and Lavracha, I tried to quote, right, it's in during his year. Rabbi Lam in his Haggadah, the Royal Table, amazing Haggadah, he quotes, Hamavdil Mekodesh Lechol. We know, we do Havdalah, the Gemara says, in Atachonein, in the first Bracha. Why? Because if you don't have Das, you can't make Havdalah. Emein Das, Havdalah Minayin. A Jew needs to make Havdalah. A Jew needs to discriminate. Discriminate not in the racist sense. Discriminate in the separation and ability to differentiate sense. Because in life there are always so many things and we have to know what's the ochel and what's the psolas. And we have to know what values we accept from the outside world and what values we don't. And if we do Havdalah properly, then we could do Kiddush properly. Because one leads into the other. I've quoted in the past of Chaim Yivalazhin, right? If a Jew doesn't make Kiddush, the guy's going to make Havdalah. But the message that we're saying now is a Jew has to make Havdalah in order to make Kiddush. And at this Seder, where we have them together, you know, that's something that's very special. The ability to discern between values, to discriminate and to distinguish between competing claims, and their ability to emerge whole from the manifold confusions that reign in life require das, special insight and the gift of intellect. And he says it's especially true for those of us who live in the outside world. We don't believe that we should be closed up somewhere and not connect to the outside world. Where we learn and you're going to get jobs and we're going to be involved in the world. So we always have to recognize when to make Havdalah. And in that way, when to make Kiddush. So that's Kadesh. Urachatz, we go into, we wash. Karpas. I say it every year, but I have to say it every year. One of my favorite thoughts. Karpas. I don't remember if we said this year, but, you know, we're learning Psachim, so it's going to be even more special. What does the word karpas mean? This is not on your sheet. What does the word karpas mean? So, Chazal say, oh, backwards, karpas is samach perach. Samach, 60, 600,000, perach, who worked hard. Samach perach. But what is the word karpas? That's a nice backwards. What does the word karpas mean? So, the following. I don't have it here, but Rabbeinu Manoach on the Rambam. It's earlier sources as well. Rabbeinu Manoach on the Rambam already says, by karpas, we dip into a bitter substance to remember the chait of Mechiras Yosef. Right, the Mechiras Yosef, the Sinas Chinam. We can't dip it into blood because you can't eat blood. So we dip it into something bitter. So we dip something to remind us of Mechiras Yosef. Why? Because that's really what started the Shibud. That was the first step. The first step was the brothers selling Yosef. He went down to Mitzrayim. And the rest is history. So we dip. Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev. And until I saw this vart many years ago, you know, I never caught the Rashi, even though you could be Maver Sedra for years. And it's a pasuk, it's not even a Rashi. Right, Rashi quotes, is there a Chumash here? If not, I'll just say it outside. It's fine, here. Rashi says on Ksones Pasim. Ksones Pasim. Rashi says, what is the word Pasim? So Rashi says, one day, maybe it stands for, you know, all the people that Yosef was sold to. Says, oh, what's going on here? Great. It skips from Toldos to Vayeshev. Okay. No, it skips like 20 pages. Is it before or after? Sometimes it's re... Okay, anyway, Rashi quotes, Ksones Pasim is... Oh, you have another Chumash? It's fancy. It's for who he was sold to. And all the tsaris, Potiphar, and... Just find you the Lashon, because it's jarring if you never noticed it before. Ksones Pasim. Lashon, he says, Medrash HaGadol Shem Tsarosav, Potiphar, Socharim, Yishmaelim, Midyanim. Okay, Pasim is from all those... But then Rashi quotes, Lashon Klei Milas, Pasim is a fancy type of material. Ksones Pasim. Kimo, like the curtains in the beginning of Megillas Esther. Chur, Karpas, Uschelas. Karpas means fancy material. That's what the word Karpas means, and it's used in the Megillah. And Rashi quotes it by Ksones Pasim, by Yosef. That's what the word karpas means, and that's what we're doing at the Seder. We dip karpas. We're remembering the sinas chinam and mechiras Yosef. We don't eat karpas with a seba. We sit because it's remembering the shibud, but it's remembering the chet. And that's karpas, and that's what we focus on. That's why it's called that, and that's Rabbeinu Manoach on the Rambam. You put all those together. Beautiful. Yachatz. Yeah. We take Ksones Pasim, Yosef's coat was an expensive, beautiful material. They dipped it in blood. So we can't dip it in blood. We can't eat it. So we dip it in a bitter, you know, a bitter liquid. And in that way, remember Mechiras Yosef. Yachatz. So we split halachic reasons, hashkafic reasons. I gave you from Rav Shechter on the Haggadah, just a halachic reason. He quotes from Rav Chaim, who says that we know the Afikoman is Zeichel Korban Pesach. All karbanos need shmira, need to be guarded, needed to be protected from tuma, protected from hesach hadas. So Reb Chaim felt and expanded upon this. If afikomen is zecha l'korban Pesach, you know, it should be wrapped up properly. So when the kids take it, or announce it before the kids take it, you know, don't just like throw it all over the place, wrap it up properly. They should be careful not to place it in an exposed location. Okay, it's a chumrah, but it's interesting. Reb Chaim said, if it connected Avikomen to Korban Pesach, so then it could be in a secure place. Okay, there's other messages of Yachatz. Those are a few ideas before we get to Magid. So now we get to Magid. Let's go one paragraph at a time. So Halach Ma'anya. This is the poor man's bread, the achala of arsana that our forefathers ate ba'arad de Mitzrayim. So two thoughts, one in front of you and one I'll mention. First, let's do the one in front of you. The one in front of you is from the Kerem HaTzvi. I met Rav Tzvi Filber, that's Rabbi David's grandfather or great-grandfather. His Haggadah is right here. So if you want to buy it, feel free to take one and just let Rabbi Davidson know afterwards. He gave it to me last year. I didn't get to use it last year in the Haggadah Shir. So here it is this year. So he quotes from the Kerem HaTzvi, Halach Ma'anyas. What are we doing at the Seder? Kol dichvin yesev yifsa. Whoever wants to come, join us. Join us, whoever wants to come. Achronos Hazarachim. Right, many point out, we're not really doing Achronos Hazarachim for the Korban Pesach because you're not allowed to have a guest, right? You have to be appointed beforehand. So it's kind of too late. Right? Yet we learned in the Mishnah, right? You have to be appointed before the Shechita. So at the Seder, it's too late to invite guests anyway. So we're not actually inviting guests. And that's also the answer to why the door is not open. The door is open for Eliyahu HaNavi. He doesn't need a door. All right? But now, it's for the real guest, then the minhag is not to open the door. So we're not really inviting. So what are we doing? The inviting is reflecting something. Rav Soloveitchik says, the inviting is reflecting B'nei Chorin. The butler does not invite people. The hired help does not invite people. The balabais invites people. So it says the Rav Soloveitchik, maybe the inviting is just a simon of cheiros. But if you look here in the Kerem HaTzvi, inviting people is what Jews do. That's a hallmark of Yehudim. To invite others to join them. He said he remembers as a young child walking the streets when other people from other religions used to come out of their temples or other houses of worship on their holidays. There was no such thing as inviting other people over to join you in the festive meal. It wasn't like something automatic. It wasn't something that you arranged beforehand. V'lo echad mehem asher yolech oso habito habaita eza ani, or a poor man to bring into the meal with you? No. And that's throughout Tanakh, whether it's Stom Va'amora, whether it's Dor HaMabul, Avram Avinu, that's what he did. He went out and brought other people in with him. Aniyim Nitzrachim Lebeiso, L'Hachilam, L'Hashkosam. Avram didn't ask what they believed in before he did that. This midah of caring and going out and including others, that's a siman of a Jew. All right, the Gemara in Yevamos, three simanim of every Jew, Rachmanim, Baishanim, V'gomle Chasadim. That's who we are. It doesn't say shalosh siman, it says, it doesn't say shalosh mido, shalosh simanim. A simin, what's a simin? Right, like by an Aveda. If you see that simin, you know whose it is. These are the simanim of the Jews. Right, if anybody's having guests over at their Seder, you could talk about how hard this past year was when many people couldn't have guests. Right, it was like part of our essence was taken away from us. Because that's what we do. And he says, he quotes, I don't know who this is, Rav Yaakov Sapir, he quotes that one day he was traveling and he went to people who were maybe from the lost tribes, maybe not from the lost tribes. He said he met them. He said they acted like Jews. Meaning, there's a connection. Like lost brothers. That's how we start the Seder. We do something that shows who we are, that reflects who we are. Right? The achalo of asana. Right? We're being oches. Halach Ma'anya. There's another thought that I like to mention from Rabbi Ginnack on Halach Ma'anya, who says, now we're here, Lashana Haba Ba'ara Yisrael. Lashana Haba B'nei Chorin. Right at the beginning of the Seder, we're already talking about Lashana Haba. Why don't we just focus on where we are? And how is it any, how do we, you know, what do we, we're still in Galus. So what are we doing by the hope? So he gives a mashal. He says, imagine somebody who's in jail for 40 years. He's in jail for 40 years. He's told that tomorrow he's going free. He's still in jail, but he's told tomorrow he's going free. Look at him, how he's walking around in jail. He's walking around. He's got a jump in his step. He's already free. Because in his mentality, he's free. What about the guy who's sitting at home, but he knows tomorrow he's going to jail for 40 years? He's at home. He's already in jail. So much of our state is based on what our attitude is and what our focus is. We're sitting in Galus, but L'shana Haba B'Arad Yisrael. L'shana Haba B'nei Chorin. We're B'nei Chorin because that's what we're thinking about. That's what our focus is. And if that's our attitude, so then that's how we could, be B'nei Chorin, even at this time. Good. Manishtana. Next paragraph, Manishtana, Alayla Azeh, Mikol Halelos. The Rambam says it's a statement. It's not asking a question. Manishtana, how different is this night? Manishtana halayla zeh. So, either the pashup shot or the deeper idea. But one of the messages is kulana mesubin. Right, one of the questions. All other nights were not mesubin, and today we act like b'nei chorin. Kulana mesubin. We feel great about ourselves. And again, Rav Kook asked a similar question. What are we supposed to feel as we sit here eating the maror, remembering? If you look in source number 6, this is from the Haggadah Shel Achdus. It's a beautiful Haggadah put out by Rabbi Goldschneider, who's actually a friend. But he put together, Haggadah came out a couple years ago. It has the Torah of Rav Kook, Rav Soloveitchik, and Rav Shlomo Kalbach. Right? Those three rabbis, so that's his Haggadah. All the Torah, he quotes those three rabbanim. So here it's from Rav Kook. He quotes, Kasher im gola, am gola mead maso. Now, I thank him for quoting Rav Kook's, because most Rav Kook that I read inside, I can't understand. So, but he quote, when people summarize what he says, then, you know, it works, at least for me. So says Rav Kook, the litmus test for a nation is when it goes into exile. That's how you know whether they're really a nation or not. Yadua, ki am shesherchav ne'akar miad maso, a nation that got uprooted from its homeland. Umotzeas asmo kafuf l'shelton zar, and you're in a strange land. How long is that nation going to last? How long? If you have a country that was, you know, run over by another country, and everybody has to scatter, are they going to last as a nation? Are they going to keep up their minhagim of the Altaheim and eventually hope to maybe return? Says Rav Kook, what a nace. But maybe it's not even a nace. Wherever Jews were, right? Ha historia mochicha ki amim pashut lo sardim betram keila. When a nation goes out into exile and they're exiled from their homeland, they don't last. They just disappear. Think about every nation. Think about the Phoenicians and the Philistines, and the old Romans, all the nations. Think about, where are they? Where are they? Ach ha'am ha'yehudi, eich shehu sarat. Somehow the Jewish people, without a homeland, without a center of Jewish law, without a Sanhedrin, we went into all different places, somehow we survived. Somehow we're still around. Says Rav Kook, what an inspirational thought that should give us chizuk. Hatshuva hisha Torah haisa me'azum itamid ha'yisot shalom atinu. It's the Torah that has kept us going. Ne'akarnu me'artzeinu ach me'olam lo'og ne'akarnu mitorah seinu. We have never been uprooted from our Torah. The Torah is what gives us life. It's our motor. Shabbos, Yontif, Shul, Torah. Harav Kook hits la'iv ma'od mi'matzavo shalom ha'yudi b'yamav. Right, and then finally, Rav Kook sees that they start coming back to Eretz Yisrael in his lifetime, right? The second half of the 19th century. That's when the real Aliyah started. Rav Kook was Nifter before, 1935, but before the state. But he saw in his lifetime the beginning of Kibbutz Galios. The beginning of not only did the nation survive 2,000 years, but they started coming back to their homeland. What an unbelievable nes nigla. Not duplicated by any other nation in history. And that's why we could have Kulanu Mesubin. We could be relaxing and acting like B'nai Chorin, because we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu's in charge. We know there's something special about Am Yisrael. Okay. Avadim Ayinu, Leparo B'Mitzrayim. We were Avadim, should I say over the Vart? Avadim, the Sneh. I say it, but many might not be aware of it. Rav Soloveitchik, why do we say Avadim Hayinu Liparo and not Avde Paro Hayinu? Would have been shorter, Avde Paro, like Avde Hashem. Why do we say Avadim Hayinu Liparo? Says Rav Soloveitchik, let's think back to the Sneh. Moshe Rabbeinu is at the Sneh. Why did Hashem give that vision to Moshe and not any other? Why did he choose the Sneh, a burning bush that was not consumed? Explains Rav Soloveitchik, Moshe Rabbeinu had given up on the Jewish people, right? They ran him out of Egypt, right? They told on him. Do they really deserve to be redeemed? Hashem shows him a bush that's not consumed. They're burning, but they're not being consumed. They're healthy inside. Inside, they're strong. They just look like they're burning on the outside, but inside, they're strong. They're loyal. Avadim hayinu liparo is a social status, reality. We were avadim to paro. Avde paro hayinu would have meant we totally identified with paro. Avde paro, but we weren't avde paro. We became avde Hashem. But we just happened to be avadim hayinu liparo b'mitzrayim. Very different. And that goes from the sneh. But we say in avadim hayinu, whoever we are, we have to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Afinu kulonu chachamim, kulonu rivonim. So I saw in the Chafetz Chaim, they put out the Haggadah of the Chafetz Chaim. He quotes a story related to kulonu nivonim, kulonu yodim es haTorah. Each one of us, kulonu, isn't it an interesting lashon? We are all afilu, kulonu chacham. You could say afilu, but even though we are, says Rav. Says the Chafetz Chaim. When the Chafetz Chaim was in Warsaw, a father brought him his 10-year-old son for a bracha. I guess things were different then. He's complaining to the Chafetz Chaim, his son's not into learning. You should bring an 18-year-old. But he said, he brought a 10-year-old. Ein la ben cheshik lilmod. The Chafetz Chaim says, yesh lo kelim, kishronos nisrachim lilimud. You have to know your child. So the father said, well, every father would say this, but this was really true. His father said, yeah, he has Kalim. He has the Kishronot. So again, let's, for our purposes, let's say he was older, because I think in those days it was a little younger. So the Chafetz Chaim turns to the child and says, I skipped a line. Bini lomar nam b'shkida, you have to take your learning seriously, because if not, there's going to be a kasha on Hashem. The child looks at him, what? What do you mean kasha on Hashem? I'm not so inspired. What does it mean kasha on Hashem? Says the Chafetz Chaim, Hatsur tamim pa'alo, Hashem is perfect. Kol ma'asav shalabori yisbarachim betachlis ha'shlemus v'adiyak. Everything exactly HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates is perfect. If we see something that doesn't seem to be perfect, then it's just a lack in our vision. A shoemaker was given perfect wisdom to make shoes. And a leather worker was given perfect wisdom to make leather. Hashem knows exactly what each person is going to end up being, and he gives them the wisdom. Maybe they have a choice, but he gives them whatever wisdom they need to succeed. And if somebody doesn't use that wisdom that Hashem gives them, then it's basically retroactively showing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them something extra that wasn't needed. And that would be a kasha on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Chofetz Chaim turns to this child and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you such kochos. You don't want to have a kasha on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? You have to use your kochos. You have to use what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. Afiru kulanu chachamim, kulanu nivonim. You're a navon, you're a chacham. And there you have to use it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave each of us kochos. And we have to try to use them to the best of our abilities. Ma'isa Barbalaza, the story of the five rabbis. They come to Bnei Brak. I've quoted in the past the Aruch HaShulchan in his Haggadah. It's called Lel Shimurim. In the Aruch HaShulchan Haggadah, they quote, I will try to get through this, but just have to add in a few things here and there. The Lel Shimurim, yes, what were they doing in Bnei Brak? Why Dafka Bnei Brak? That was the city of Rabbi Akiva. He was one of the five rabbis. But they all had their own towns. Why were they in Bnei Brak? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, and it's quoted by others also, but it's such a beautiful thought. Throughout Shas, Rabbi Akiva is the ultimate optimist. The ultimate optimist. Positive. He sees a fox going across Harabayas. Oh! This is going to bring the Gula. This is a simon, the Gula is coming. He just got married. He's in a barn with his wife. They have no money. Somebody knocks on the door looking for straw. Look, we have straw. He doesn't even have straw. He's being killed. Oh, been waiting for this moment all my life. Right, Rabbi Akiva, right? Kol milsa d'avid rachmano l'tav avid. He lost his chicken, he lost his horse, he lost his candle, he lost everything. Kol milsa d'avid rachmano l'tav avid. He's always positive. Think about five other stories about Rabbi Akiva. I'm not thinking of any more right now, but he's always positive. This was 100 years after Churban Beis HaMikdash. Imagine what type of Seder that was. How depressing. The Iker, the Korban Pesach, was missing. They probably could still smell the smoke of Harabayas. They went to Rabbi Akiva to get Chizuk. They went to Rabbi Akiva because he knew he would be able to give them the proper perspective. That was Rabbi Akiva. 40 years old, he starts learning Aleph Beis. I could do it! He had the attitude. Again, think of all the Rabbi Akiva stories. All the Rabbi Akiva stories. He's always positive. A couple years ago, I had an idea from a friend. A couple years ago, we had, there was something called scholars in residence in shuls. Right? You have special scholars in residence. So two years ago, before Corona, we had Rabbi Akiva as a scholar in residence in our shul. What does that mean? I dressed up like Rabbi Akiva. And so I told his life story. I went through a lot of these stories. But you had to be very positive because that's who he was. That's who he was. Okay. But what else on this story? They stay up all night learning until their talmidim come and say, time to daven shachris. Why weren't their talmidim with them? Their talmidim was somewhere else? Until the talmidim came and told them, yizman kinyan yishmal shal shachris. So here in the Haggadah Asapar Kvotcha, they quote from Rabbi Zeidel Epstein. He was a mashgiach. He was nifter in 2007. He was in Torah Or, I think Rav Scheinberg's yeshiva. Tells a story of Rav Shlomo Har Kabi, another mashgiach, that he was involved in Sibri Tzis Mitzrayim, and then all of a sudden he sees that some of his talmidim around the table weren't halting cups so much. It was getting late. And he says to them, he says, guys, you can go to sleep. You can go to sleep. They say, you're not going to sleep. Right? Madu Mavakesh Mal told me, tell Alechas Lishon. We want to be Makayim Sibizis Mitzrayim. So he says this question. He says, where were the Talmidim in this story? He said, it must be that the Talmidim were tired. They did their mitzvah, but now there's also a mitzvah of Simchas Yantif. And to sleep on Yantif too. So if you're not involved in the Sibri Yitzis Mitzrayim and you're mitzta'er and you're uncomfortable with staying up beyond the mitzvah time, so then go to sleep. That's your mitzvah. I'm still enjoying myself. I don't feel it. The balance of the different values that we have. There's Sibri Yitzis Mitzrayim, but there's also Mitzvah of Simchas Yantif. And if somebody's at the end of the Seder, it's time to go to sleep, go to sleep. So he says the Talmidim must have gone to sleep. And the Rebbeim stayed up all night. Wasn't that, in those days, it wasn't that everybody was on the level of Rabbi Akiva and it wasn't Azariah and all the others. They were also Talmidim. He gives Makbiyah Shoshal Shachris. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. I'm like 70 years old. V'chulu. And you have the machlokes, ben zoma, the chachamim. And the last line of that Mishnah in Brachas, which we quote here. By the way, this paragraph is about Zechiras Yisias Mitzrayim. What's it doing here? So the whole night is about Sipur, which is only tonight. This paragraph is about Zechira. The mitzvah that we have every day and night of our life. Why do we talk about Zechira and Sipur? Because they work together. Right, if we analyze intensely one night, then the rest of the year we could also, continue. Rav Asher Weiss gives a mashal. He says, when you get a phone, you have to put in the number. You have to put in the number, and then once you put in the number the first time, then you could just press the name, and then it goes by itself. But you have to put in the number the first time, or else, you're not going to have it. Sibri Yitzis Mitzrayim, you're putting in the number. You're doing it, you're putting in all the details. Once you do that once, then the rest of the year, all you have to do is to press speed dial. Do it in a shorter way. That's the Zechiras Yisias Mitzrayim. Sipur is the details, putting in all the information so that the rest of the year you could build off of it. But if you have here in source number 9, you have from the Haggadah, from Gedolei Yerushalayim. It's also a compilation of 10, 12 different Rabbanim. So the last line is Kol Yemecha Yecha Yamim Kol Yemecha Yecha Lavi L'Mos HaMashiach, which the Gemara darshins that we're still going to talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim B'Yemos HaMashiach, but it's not going to be Ikar. It's going to be secondary. So he gives a mashal. He says there was an ani that was very sick. Didn't have a often one person's sick, they don't even have a taiva to eat. Until the doctor came and was able to heal him, and he brought him back to his health, and he was able to eat. But he was still very poor, so he didn't have much to eat. He could eat, but he didn't have much to eat. Finally, years later, when he became rich and he was able to buy a lot of food, then he called the doctor back and said, "Wow, now I appreciate what you did for me. I didn't appreciate all the years because I still was poor, so I couldn't enjoy it. But now, not only am I healthy, but I'm rich. All these years, we have trouble appreciating what it means to be a Ben Choren. We're still in Galus. We're still subjugated. You know, we have difficulties, you know, appreciating everything. When Mashiach comes, L'havi Mosa Mashiach, then we're going to look back to Yitzias Mitzrayim and realize what it was like. And realize what Hashem did for us. So Mashiach is going to help us appreciate Yitzias Mitzrayim. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Baruch Shanasan Torah L'Amo Yisrael Baruch Hu. It's a type of Birchas HaTorah. Why HaMakom? Why that name of Hashem? So one thought I've mentioned in past years, I'll mention from Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Schwab. They both say it. We say HaMakom twice in two specific contexts. We say HaMakom in a Shiva house, Ashkenazim, HaMakom Yenachem Eschem. And we say HaMakom every Monday and Thursday, right? Achein, Nukabesol, HaMakom Yerachem, Aleihem, Yotzim Yisrael Levacha. So that's what we use HaMakom. What do those two have in common? HaMakom is used when somebody feels far away from Hashem. When somebody feels distant, when somebody just lost a relative, we say to them, HaMakom, Hashem who fills all place is near you. You might not feel it, but Hashem is there. HaMakom Yenachem Eschem. Right? Acheinu Kobeis Yisrael, wherever they are, but Sarov Hashivya, HaMakom Yerachem Aleihem. Hashem who is everywhere has Rachmanis on you. So Dafka here at the Seder, Baruch HaMakom, we're about to talk about the four sons. Some sons are close. Some sons are far. Right? And we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say to the sons, Hashem is with you wherever you are. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, the Torah is connected to you wherever you are. That's Rav Soloveitchik, that's Rav Schwab. But if you have here Rav Pinkus in source number 10, in his Agadah, says, we're talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim, but we first have to recognize the first step of anything. Fascinating. Rav Pinkus says, the first thing that Hashem created when he created the world was Makom. Because nothing could exist without Makom. We can't fathom what does it mean before there was Makom. We can't fathom that. Right? We have to recognize that we can't understand everything. Right? Just like, you know, a dog can't understand physics. You know, it's just beyond him. A person cannot understand a malach. A malach can't even understand what does it mean before there was Makom. Hashem created Makom. Everything in the world needs Makom to exist. When we talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim, we recognize the first thing, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, but the background to any nes, the background to anything that happens in life, that exists in life, needs to be Makom. B'chol mitzias efshar v'tzarach limso HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can find Hashem anywhere. Makom u'davar shenivra lefnei hakol. The Bria that expresses Hashem's koach more than anything else is makom. You look at the Shemayim, right? You look at the heavens, the vastness, you realize it's endless. Hamakom. Hashem created all of this that takes up space because he created space itself. And that itself is the message of makom. Baruch HaMakom. And then we get into the four sons. They get so much to spend the whole shiur on the four sons. But one thought here from Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein from his Haggadah. The Rasha says what he says, Ma'avod Azos Lachem, and we knock out his teeth. Hakei Etshinaf. What kind of educational tool is that? Doesn't sound too chinuchi. Doesn't sound so inspirational for the Rasha. So he says, very often, this is a great line, the question of whether a child is evil or just misunderstood depends on whether we're talking about my child or my neighbor's child. Are they evil or are they misunderstood? However, we must remember that this is the response that the Haggadah instructs the child's own father to give him, to knock out his teeth. How could a father be so abrupt in condemning his child? So says Rabbi Bernstein, it's exactly the opposite. The child has so much faith in his son, and the Torah and the Haggadah is encouraging. You have to have faith in your son. What do you have to do? Hakei Etshinaf. What does Hakei Etshinaf means? Even if the son says something, it comes out of his mouth. Don't think that's really him inside. Don't let him swallow that. Just knock it out of his mouth. Don't let what he says go into him and really be part of him. Realize it's just external. It's in his mouth. Just knock it away from him. When the parent is told to blunt his child's teeth, it means he is not to define the child based on the objectionable question coming out of his mouth. He must reach past that to the child inside, who he knows to be good. And this is quoted in many Haggadahs. The Gematria of Russia is 570. The Gematria of Shinov is 366. You take Shinov from Russia, you end up with 204, which is Tzaddik. So if you knock out what's in his teeth from the Russia, you end up with Tzaddik. To recognize that exactly it's, we believe in you. And that's why we say, Ilu Hayasham, if he was there. He's talking to his son. He doesn't say if you were there, you wouldn't have been redeemed. It's in third person. If he was there, he would have been redeemed. Prevent them from chewing and swallowing it. Encourage him to spit it out while it's still in his mouth. Amazing. Okay. Yochel Me'Rosh Chodesh. Havamina that we should start saying, fulfilling the mitzvah of CBC is designed for Rosh Chodesh, Tam B'Lomer, no, Bayamahu, only B'Shash Yishmatzar, Mar Machum of Fanecha. All the Haggadahs ask, what's the Havamina? Why would we think that we have to start talking about Sipur before the night of the Seder? So Rav Soloveitchik in the Siach HaGrid, that's put together by his grandson, source 14. So he discusses the Rambam that maybe we've learned over the past couple of weeks. The Rambam says, Sibur Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kemosha Amar, Zachos Yom Shabbos Lakadsho. Remember that Rambam? Then the Vilchos Chametz Matzah. He compares Sibur Yitzias Mitzrayim to Kiddush, to Zechiras Shabbos. Says the Rav in what way? On Shabbos there's a mitzvah to look forward to it before it actually comes. To get ready for it the whole week. Every day of the week. Right, we talk about Shabbos. Hayom Yom Sheni B'Shabbos. That's the message of Shabbos. Maybe, says Rav Soloveitchik, that's the Havamina by Pesach too. Pesach needs to be prepared for. And maybe there's a Kiyum even before Shabbos, just like there's a Mitzvah of Zechira Shabbos the whole week. Maybe Sipur should be like that. Kamash Malan, not Tzipor per se. Maybe the idea is true, to prepare for it. But the actual mitzvah of Tzipor requires the actual Maisa HaMitzvos as props, with matzah and maror and everything on the Seder table. Yochel Me'erosh Chodesh. By the way, that's why that paragraph is why the Gra says, not to, argues with the Rama, right? Not to say the Haggadah on Shabbos Haggadah afternoon, right? The Gra says, Yochel Me'erosh Chodesh. But the minhag of the Rama and many is to say it because you're not trying to do the mitzvah, you're just trying to get ready for it. Trying to get ready for it. Okay. Mitchila of the Avodazar Hayav Oseinu. Right? This is a kiyum of Maschil Begnus, Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Our forefathers started off with as a Odeh Avodah Zarah. So there's a beautiful drush. It is drush. It is not pshat. But it is a beautiful drush here in the Be'er HaChaim, in Rabbi Bitterman's Haggadah. It's a great vard in general. He says, Klal Gadol B'Avodah Hashem. Every day we have to think about our day and do a cheshbon nefesh and try to do tshuva for our actions. You can't get caught in the past and think I'm such a terrible guy. I made so many mistakes. You can't get caught in the past and not let yourself grow. And he quotes from one of the Slonim Rebbe's, Mitchila. If you focus so much on what was Tchila, if you get caught in focusing on your past, Avodah Zarah. You're not going to be able to grow. It's just Kihu alu la'kar esakol chalila. It's just going to lead you to do terrible things because you're never going to believe in yourself. V'achshav kervanu amacham la'avodaso. If you focus on the present, right now, the achshav, what you could do right now, then you're going to have kirev l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kervanu amakom l'avodaso. Right? What is Hashem, what did the Malach tell Eishes Lot? Al tabit acharecha. Don't turn around. Because if you turn around, you're just going to be a pillar of soil. You're not going to be able to move. If you focus so much on your past, you're not going to be able to move. You're going to have Yeyush. And then he gives a great mashal. Says, driving. When you drive, you always have to look ahead. You know, sometimes for a second, you have to look behind you just to make sure there's nobody coming into your lane, to make sure there's nothing. Like for a second, you look like behind to the sides. But if you look too much to the, if you just have your head in the back, in the rear view mirror the whole time, you're not going to get anywhere. You basically have to look forward. Once in a while, look back. Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah Hayavaseinu. V'achshav kervanu amakom la'avodasa. And he even quotes a story. Quotes from the Leif Simcha. That's one of the Ger Rebbe's. There's a Yerushalmi and Peya. The Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish were going on their way to be in the Chami Tveria, and they met an Ani who asked them for a Nedava, and they said, okay, on our way back, we're going to give you something. And on their way back, they came, and he died. There's a story like this about Nachem Ishgamzu in the Gemara. So they come back and they say, whoa! Lo zachinu l'tabo l'b'chayev. We weren't zochet to be metapel him. B'chayev, let at least bury him properly. That's their reaction. And ask the Ger Rebbe, wouldn't you think they would just be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe what we did. Oh my God, we're done. That's it. We're idiots. They felt bad. But you know what they did? What could we do now? There's nobody to apologize to, but what could we do now? And the Gemara continues. They started to pick him up and deal with him, and they saw his pockets were full of money. So they realized that he didn't die because he didn't have money from them. So they focused. If they would have just wallowed in their pain, they would never have even realized that they didn't even cause the guy's death. Says the Leif Simcha, we have to again build on the past, but focus towards the future. Focus towards the future. Mitchila. Good. Baruch Shomer, Hashem keeps his promise. Baruch Shomer after Chasal Yisrael. Right, these are just the next paragraphs. This is from the Rav Asher Weiss, the Minchas Asher Agada. Right, what does this paragraph say? Hashem was Machashiv the Kates. Hashem took us out. After 210 years, instead of 400. And he says there are really three reasons found why the time was shortened. Right? How to go from 400 to 210. So he quotes, number one, he doesn't quote the sources, but number one, Schusavos. Schusavos. Hashem ad Rachmanis. Schusavos. Number two, this is the Pashut Pshat that we know from Chazal. This is in source 16, I'm in. Number two, because it was so hard. They made it much harder than it was supposed to be. So number one, Schusavos. Number two, Koshi Ashibud. Number three, they quote from the Arizal, but if we would, and based on the Rambam also, if we would have been in Mitzrayim one more second, we would never have been able to come out. Because we would not be recognizable anymore as the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But Hashem had a promise. He had to fulfill the promise. If he would have stayed one more second, he wouldn't have been able to fulfill his promise. Okay, so that's why he had to take us out that second. That's Baruch Shomer after Chasso. Says Rav Asher Weiss, all three are alluded to in the Psukim in the beginning of Va'era. All three reasons. He quotes, Va'era el Avram el Yitzchak el Yaakov. That's reason number one. Schusavos. V'gama kimosi es brisi. Right, that's reason number three. I have to keep my promise. V'gama neshamati es na'akas b'nei Yisrael. Asher Mitzrayim avidim osam. Reason number two. So all three reasons of Hashem keeping his promise are alluded to in those psukim that are right before Votzeisi v'Yitzalti, v'ga'alti v'lakachti. Good, moving right along. V'hisha amda. V'hisha amda, how are we doing, guys? We're good? We're good. Don't worry, minchas in half an hour, so that's the most we could do. We finished before then. V'hisha amda. So what's the Vihi? This is what has stood us. Vihi Sha'am Dalav Hosseinu V'lanu. So in some Haggadahs they say, oh, Vihi, Vav, Vishisha Sidre Mishnah, Hey, Es Chamisha Chum Shei Torah, Yud is the Aseres Adibros, and one is Hashem. Vihi Sha'am Da. Our connection to Hashem and Torah. One shot of Vihi. The Meshech Chachma says, the Minhag of Bnei Yisrael is to lift up the wine by Vihi Sha'am Da. V'hisha amda. The wine symbolize the didim d'rabbanan that are meant to separate us from the umos ha'olam. Right? Wine is the main area. Stam yenam, you can't even touch it. So v'hi, it's these didim d'rabbanan that have kept us going throughout the years. Right? The Jews that didn't keep the didim d'rabbanan aren't around anymore. But the Pashup Shad of Ahi is this promise that we were just talking about in the previous paragraph, Baruch Shomer, Vehi, this promise that Hashem made, that's what has kept us going throughout the time period. If you look in the Haggadah Kol Aryeh, source 17, was a listener of mine, sent this to me a couple years ago. So he says, Kavana b'pashtus, mashiftiach Hashem yisbarach, Hashem promised. But I asked the Kol Aryeh, what's the Vegam in the promise? Right, remember the Bris Ben Abisarim? Hashem promised that I'm going to take you out. V'gam es agoy asher yavodu don anochi. And also, what's the v'gam? So he says, v'nira. He says, as we know, when we were redeemed, when we were going out of Mitzrayim, we didn't deserve it. As we said before, we were also Ovi Avodah Zarah. We were on the 49th level of Tumah. As the Zohar says. Just put in your notes for a second. I forgot one question. Why did it say Don Anochi and not Adun? Don means present. Adun, I will judge. I will judge the nation. Why did it say Don? Present and not Adun. So add that to the questions. Besides the gam, whites have done. So now it says the Kol Aryeh. We didn't deserve it at the time. But you know what the chesed of Hashem is? Hashem doesn't look at the moment that we're being subjugated and persecuted. Because at that time, of course, we're not so spiritual at that moment. Look at the situation we're in. Hashem goes based on the time of what we level we were on at the time of the promise. When Hashem promised Avraham, have we done anything wrong yet? No. That's good enough for him. Done Anochi, present tense. Hashem goes by the moment of the promise, not by the moment of the Geula, when we don't really deserve it. Because sometimes we're not going to deserve it, but Hashem knows what caused us to be in that state. And that's the extra point. V'gam es agoy, that's the chiddush. That I'm going to, I'm not going to look at that moment. I'm not going to look at Asher Ushama, I'm going to look at earlier. That's the Vihi Sha'amda. This outlook that Hashem does, Vihi Sha'amda Lavosein of Alanu. Or else we would have been destroyed. Because we haven't deserved it all the years. But Hashem doesn't only look at that moment. Good. Seulamad. See what Lavan has done to us. What did Lavan do? Okay, I'm going to try to stick this. There's a lot more, but I'm going to try to stick to the papers in front. But feel free to listen. There's a great Rav Asher Weiss on Seulamad. If you have his Agada, you can't go into Pesach without seeing it. So three types of Saras, but we're up to 18. Rabbi Jonathan Sachs, Zichrono Levracha, in his Agada. What exactly did Lavan do? Doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that Lavan tried to kill us. Right, so what exactly did Lavan try to do? And he's worse than Paro. See, he quotes Rabbi Z.H. Ferber. The sun and the wind were once arguing as to which was stronger. The sun said, I'm stronger. I give light and warmth to the whole world. The wind said, I'm stronger. Nothing stands in my way. Just then a farmer began plowing his field. The sun said, let's settle this once and for all. Who can make the farmer take off his coat? Who can make the farmer take off his coat? The wind accepted the challenge and began to blow. But the harder it blew, the more tightly the farmer clung to his jacket until the wind gave up exhausted. The sun began to shine. As soon as the farmer felt the heat, he took off his jacket. Warmth is more powerful than wind. Says Rabbi Sachs, often when we're persecuted, that makes the Jew stronger, in a sense. We stand up for our morals. We stand up for what we know is right. We don't give in. Right? What did Paro try to do? The more he persecuted us, Kein yirbeh v'chein yifrotz. The danger, to the contrary, while Lavan was with Yaakov, Yaakov grew rich. The danger was that he would remain with Lavan and forget who he was. So it is throughout Jewish history. The more Jews suffered, the more they prayed, studied, and kept the commands. The paradox is that the danger to Jewish continuity has not been slavery or suffering, but affluence and freedom. Right? The gullus of America. Right? The gullus of affluence and comfort. Right, that's what we think. And that's what we mentioned Lavan. Do not think that the story of Pesach ends with the Exodus. It only begins there. It's one thing to believe in Hashem when you need his help. It's another when you already have received it. That's a great line. Affluence, no less than slavery, can make us forget who we are and why. So we have to recognize what Lavan did to us. And then we have the Psukim. I'm going to skip 19 for now. And we go to the Makos. Source 20, Rav Dessler. In his Agada, Rav Dessler asked the question that many asked. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do the Makah of Dam because the water saved him. He couldn't do the Makah of Kinim because the dirt saved him. And the question is, the water is not going to feel bad if Moshe doesn't say thank you. The dirt, the water, inanimate objects, what's the message for us? Explains Rav Dessler. And also, just another question. Wouldn't it be like if you think about Moshe Rabbeinu hitting the water, he's using the water to bring a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. Wouldn't the water be thankful to him for doing that? What kind of bizayin is it? So explains Rav Dessler, when it comes to midos, you can't go by intellect. There's an emotion and there's a need for a Jew to be able to be a person that says thank you, that feels gratitude. And it doesn't matter if you could explain, well, in the larger picture, this is going to bring a Kiddush Hashem. No, the water helped him out. He can't do something to an item that helped him out. Midos don't go by intellectual evaluations. Midos are more connected to emotions and feelings. That's what affects us. So says Rav Dessler, that's why he couldn't touch the water. Couldn't touch water because of motion, not because of the water. We could spend all our time on the Makos, but feel free to listen to past years. But at the end, after the Makos, we finally have the only time that Moshe Rabbeinu's name is mentioned in the Haggadah, V'yamina B'Hashem V'Moshe Avdo. Source 21. I think I mentioned in the past from Rabbi Pelkovitz. I heard it from. I don't know who he was quoting. Rabbi Pelkovitz, Zecharno Levracha, says, why isn't Moshe's name mentioned in the Haggadah? Except for this one, Derech Agav. He gives a beautiful pshat. Who was the first person to ever do Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? Who was the first person? Shui, you're going to say this over. This is a good one. One good one-liner. Right? Who was the first person to ever do Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim in history? You know who the first person was? Moshe Rabbeinu, because his kids weren't there. When his wife brought his kids, he was the first one to ever do Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. You think he spoke about himself when he told the story? You think he focused so much on what he did, his role? We mirror the first time Sipur was done in our Sipur. And we don't mention Moshe. And you know what that does? That gives Moshe more credit than he ever would have wanted. Because we do the mitzvah just like Moshe Rabbeinu did the mitzvah. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. If you look in Rav Aviner's Haggadah in Source 21, he quotes from Rav Kook, Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe Avdo, Oz Yashir Moshe. What's the flow? Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe Avdo, Oz Yashir Moshe. Says Rav Kook beautifully. You could see the biggest miracles in the world, and you know what? You could just deny that they're miracles. You could see Kriyas Yamsuf and think it's the strong tide. Without an emunah, which then affects how you see the event, it's not going to affect you. Right? You could see firstborns dropping dead at the same second and say it was a coincidence. Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe Avdo, Oz Yashir Moshe. You're only going to sing Shira if you first have Emunah. So says Rav Kook, that's why throughout history, miracles, you know, don't bring Emunah. Maybe it could strengthen Emunah. But you have to have a seed first. You have to first have a seed, and then you'll be able to build on that seed. But Emunah kodemes lakol. And then we have Dayenu. We could talk about every line of Dayenu, but we're just going to talk about after Dayenu. We say, Dayenu, alachas kama, kama, tova. All the great goods, kfula, mechupelas, it's double. What's all that double lushan? The double lushan of double. Source 22, says Rav Pam. Well, I'll add something first. What's the message of Dayenu? Right, the message of Dayenu. We go through the whole list. So the mashal is given. Child comes home from school with a project, shows it to his father. Abba, look at this project. He's like, wow, beautiful. Gives him a kiss. Second story. Brings it home to Abba, look at this project. He's like, wow, I see the house and the red that you did, and you made the sun over here, and you did this, and that. Goes, wow, that's amazing. Gives him son a kiss. What's the difference? if I mention and recognize and focus, that's a much greater appreciation. It makes the person feel much better when you focus on details. Hashem, thanks so much for everything. No. Hashem, thanks so much for A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Or you go to somebody's house for Shabbos. The food was great, thanks so much. The food, let me just tell you, I loved everything, but the potato kugel, oh, who made that one? Oh, the challah had a certain flavor in it. What was that? What's your magic ingredient? Oh, the challah. Oh, I haven't had such challah like that. When you mention more, it means much more. So that's separate vart. Says Rav Pam, even if we say thank you on something, if we start going deeper into what we're saying thank you for, we often like realize we have to say thank you even more. And we start searching deeper and deeper and deeper into it. And that's what Kfula Mechupelas, the more we look into it, the more we have to say thank you. Should I say it? Okay, fine. Rav Saad Yagon, the only story I know about Rav Saad Yagon. Right, the Rav Saad Yagon one time came back from a trip and he told his Talmidim, I have to do tshuva. What do you have to do tshuva for? He said, let me tell you a story. I was in a hotel, I was in an inn, and I was fine. It was fine. As I was leaving, you know, people recognized who I was. I'm like, oh, Rav Saad Yagon, oh my God, oh, what? And the innkeeper came over, he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, what are you sorry about? He's like, I didn't realize you were Rav Saad Yagon. He's like, you were fine. You gave me fine. He's like, I would have given you the super room, and I would have given you the extra breakfast. I would have given you there's so much. If I would have known who you are, he's like, you treated me fine. He's like, no, if I would have known. Rav Saad Yagon says, every day I have a deeper recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I would have known how great you are yesterday, what I would have done. So every day I like have a newer recognition. I realize, wow, what I did yesterday wasn't enough. So that's Dayenu too. That's Dayenu. So we continue at the end and we say Lefichach, we have to thank Hashem. B'chol dar v'dar. Chayav Adam Lurah says, Asmo kilu yasim Mitzrayim. Every generation we have to see as if we went out of Egypt. Says the Nesiv HaShalom, source 24, says the Son of Merebi. Right, we said earlier in the Haggadah, Hashem took us out of Egypt, no, but not through a shliach. It wasn't through a malach, it wasn't through a shliach. Why did Hashem dafka do it himself? Because he wanted this event to last forever. And when Hashem does something, it lasts forever. A malach doesn't even last forever. Ki'ilu hu yatsa mi Mitzrayim. Hashem takes us out of Mitzrayim every year. And that's why Hashem did it. And that's what we have to feel. Again, it's a hard mitzvah, like the Brisker Rav says. But we have to recognize, we could break out of Mitzrayim, our physical Mitzrayim, all of our borders. That's why Hashem did it. Ki'ilu hu yatsa mi Mitzrayim. He went out of Mitzrayim. Good, and then we come to the mitzvah halayla, matzah, maror. I gave you those in my shir. I gave you 25, 26. That's Rav Orman's thought on the charoses, which we're not going to review now. Those not in my shir, could feel free and read it. But let's go on and squeeze in two or three more thoughts. Safun, we have Afikoman. Here's a story that I wish on all of us. It was a story that came to him that a Yehudi Yakar came after Leil HaSeder, and he was very nirgash. He said, I have to tell you about my son. He says, you know, it's mekubal in our house, like in all houses, that everybody takes, somebody gets the afikomen. And there was one son that wasn't always the culprit, but somehow he got it this year. And nobody realized that he was sitting there, like, smug the whole time. And and all of a sudden people realized that somebody took it and it wasn't around. And, okay, comes time for the afikomen, you know, at the minhag ha'olam, you know, what's in it for me? Right? So the father's like, okay, you know what? So the son says, I'm, you know, I get to ask for something, right? So the father says, yeah, what do you want to ask for? He says, Abba, ani rotze mimcha bracha. She tevarech oti, she tatzliach, atzliach b'limud ha-Torah. V'uchal lecha beit otcha v'et ima karaui. Im tevarech oti, achzir lecha miyad da'afikomen. Please give me a bracha that I'll be a tamar chacham, a bal chesen, I'll be able to give you the proper kavod. the father already got the bracha. That's the father's bracha. Now he has to give to the son's bracha. And he says, Lo medubar ba'aba shu gon batoro tzadik mafursam. It's Yudi Pashut. But what a kid. But that's something that we have to daven for. To have children like that, that's the kind of brachas they want. Tzafun. Barech halal nirtzah. Okay, towards the end, one thought that I also like to say, Rav Avram Shur in his Haggadah, on Echen Miodeya. What's the message of Echen Miodeya? Again, don't say this during Echen Miodeya. You know, if you want to, you know, you can say this during the meal. You can say this during some other time. You're allowed to give Divrei Torah during the day meals too. You're allowed to. I paskin. You're allowed to give some of these Divrei Torah Shabbos HaGadol already also. So wherever you find yourselves. Anyway, so why Echen Miodeya? What's the message? One is this, two is that. So Rav Avin Shor says an amazing thought. He says there are two Gemaras. One Gemara says that if I look at colored clothing of a woman, it'll lead to illicit thoughts. If I looked at Begadim Sivonim, I'm not supposed to stare at, look at Begadim Sivonim, even if a woman's not wearing it. I'm not supposed to look at the Begadim because it's going to lead to inappropriate thoughts. There's another Gemara in Menachos. If you see the color blue on tzitzis, tcheles, that'll make you think of the sea, which will make you think of the sky, which will make you think of the Kisei HaKavod. So what's the difference? Does looking at colors make you think of God or make you think of illicit thoughts? So Rav Shor says, and we don't want to be mechalik between like blue and other colors. So Rav Avram Shor says, it depends what you're doing the rest of the day. If the whole day you're involved in ruchnius, in Torah, in avod, and chesed, then when you see colors, that's what your mind's going to be. It's going to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I'm involved in other stuff, then when I see colored begadim, I'm going to think of inappropriate stuff. Depends what I'm doing the whole rest of the day. By the end of the Seder, I'm supposed to be at a point so full of Hashem that whatever I hear or see, I think of, I hear 10, oh, there's a difference. Oh, six, shit, Mishnah. Whatever you see, you feel, it's like some Torah thought comes into your mind. Like the Rosh Shlomo Zalman story, remember I've told you that? Somebody was going to Rosh Shlomo Zalman, a Talmud who was in Chutz La'aretz. Rosh Shlomo Zalman never went to Chutz La'aretz. Shlomo Zalman says, oh, how was it? Did you see the skyscrapers? And he's like, what? Shlomo Zalman says, did you see the skyscrapers? They were tall buildings. He's like, yeah. You did? You saw the skyscrapers? He's like, yeah. He's like, do you know that if there is a baby, two babies born at the same exact moment, one on the 120th floor and one on the third floor, they might have their brisim on two different days if they're born at the very second of Shkia. Did you see the skyscrapers? Shlomo Zalman saw skyscrapers. He thought of Bris Mila. That was his glasses. By the end of the Seder, that should be our glasses. Whatever number we hear, 1, 2, 3, 12, it's Torah. Good. And then there's a minhag to say Shir Hashirim at the end of the Seder. There's a beautiful thought that they quote from the Ramban on the Pasuk in Shir Hashirim. Right, the Pasuk says, you have it there in 28 from Rabbi Simon Sefer and Dvarim. Im ta'iru v'im ta'oru es ha'ava ad she'techpatz. So the Ramban says, it's not the pshat of the Pasuk. He says, take your love of Hashem, ad she'techpatz, make it into a chefetz, make it into an object. Says the Ramban, if you ever feel a moment of inspiration, you need to concretize it as soon as possible. Because that's a gift from Hashem, that moment. And he wants you to concretize it. And if we don't concretize it, it's going to get lost. He quotes this from the Kedushas Levi. Kishemagi aladam avas habore, yuris habore, takef yase mitzvah. Va'az bazem maybe ava v'yuris habore b'tzimtzum. If you don't do it, it's going to get lost. So all the inspiration we feel from the Seder, and all the inspiration we feel from anything in life, we have to make sure to put something into place, to concretize it, to make sure that the feeling doesn't go to waste. And finally, just the last thought that we'll mention. We could spend a couple more hours, but we'll stop here. We say at the end, in Nirtza, we say, in 30, P'duyim L'tzion Barina L'shana B'Yerushalayim. Piduyim Letzion Berina. So he quotes here in the Haggadah's Gdola Yisrael that the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu that when Mashiach comes, Lo b'chipazon teitzeyu ubimenusa lo teilechun. You're not going to go out in haste. Two words for haste. Says the Dubna Magid, the name of the Ben Agra. There are two reasons why a person runs. Either he wants to get away from where he is, or he wants to get to where he's going. Chipazon is getting away from where we are. We left Mitzrayim b'chipazon. Menuse is running to where we want to go to. The Pasuk in Yeshayahu says, when Mashiach comes, we're going to do neither. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come to us. And we're going to meet him. Piduyim l'tzion barina. We're going to be padui in song l'shana babi Yerushalayim. So we daven for the day that you're not just kilu hu yatsami Mitzrayim, but when we're taken piduyim l'tzion, and we could all have the sedarim with all of Am Yisrael in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, eating our Karban Pesach. We still have a couple of weeks, so if we daven hard enough, Be'ez Hashem, we can still make it. Okay, Yishkoyach. Oh. What? 5 minutes, okay. Okay, my shiur, Rabbi Lowy is giving shiur tomorrow. Rabbi Davidson might give on Thursday, Rabbi Lowy is giving shiur tomorrow.